Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
In a speech made in 1863, Abraham Lincoln said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." I want to talk to you today about the subject of pride. Pride goes before a fall. Proverbs 18:12, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." What exactly is pride? The dictionary tells us that pride is a sense of one's own proper dignity or value, pleasure or satisfaction taken in one's achievement, possession, or association, an excessively high opinion of oneself, conceitedness. When we look at pride in the Word, we find not only what it is, what it means, but what God thinks about it. Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Proverbs 16:5, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Pride is the precursor to destruction, to a fall. Pride will lead to destruction. Here's the thing. If you are a child of God, which if you're listening to this program, I'm pretty sure you are, you have to realize that if you are prideful in your heart, God is bound by His very word to destroy that pride out of you. There's a story talked about in Isaiah chapter 10 about the king of Assyria. "When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, 'I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes.'" For the willful pride of his heart, for his excessively high opinion of himself. "The king of Assyria boasted, 'By my own strength have I done it. By my wisdom I have understanding and have been victor. I have removed the boundaries of many people. I have robbed their treasuries. I have put down the inhabitants. I've gathered the riches of the earth.' On and on. With willful pride, the king of Assyria went placing his own value upon himself, taking pleasure in achievements, possessions, and associations with an excessively high opinion of himself." Let me just stop for a second and say, we don't have our next breath without God, okay? Not one thing we have or are on this earth is only by our own achievement, because we are nothing without him. Nothing and no one. Everything you own and everything you think you are, if you have a college education or if you have great beauty or whatever you have, is temporary. All of it. All of it. The king of Assyria was full of pride and empty of the realization and understanding that he was a mere tool used by God to chasten Judah. Nothing he had done was by his own strength or wisdom, by his own hand. His pride, his willful pride, led him to exalt himself above God. Isaiah 10:15 says, "Does the axe raise itself above him who swings it, or the saw boast against him who uses it? What good is that axe or that saw without the hand to make use of it. In the same way as the king of Assyria, so many people today place their own value upon themselves with an excessively high opinion of themselves. They take pleasure in their achievements, in their possessions, their associations, their education, beauty, or good looks, their prestigious address. We see a lot of that here in the Dallas area. So many people lift themselves up high with pride, setting themselves up for a fall. Who are we without God? What can we do without Him? Not one thing. What do we have to be proud of? Nothing. Our boast can only be in Jesus. Of all the sins, of all the demonic forces that can be working in your life, I believe that pride is the hardest to detect in ourselves. Other people can generally detect it pretty fast, but we can't see it in ourselves. We can't see how ugly the arrogancy is, how ugly the willful pride appears to other people, how obnoxious it makes us. So let's look instead at some of the behaviors that come with having a prideful spirit. One is impatience. If you are impatient, it's like you're saying, oh, well, why can't they just do this the way I want them to do it? Or why can't they hurry up? That's pride. Okay, that's a sign of pride in yourself. Judging others as less than. Anytime you look down on somebody because they got into sin, because they're not as holy and pious as you, because of anything, you are operating in the spirit of pride. Can I just tell you that? Anytime you are gossiping about somebody, you are judging them, and you are operating in the spirit of pride. Haughtiness, what we used to call back in the day prissiness, prissing around and thinking you're all that and all that. You ain't all that. All you got is what God gave you, okay? Can I just tell you that? I'm talking to somebody tonight, a woman. You do think you're all that. Sister, you need to get right. Get right with the Lord, because if you don't, He will tear that out of you because you are His child. And that behavior is obnoxious to Him. It is an abomination to the Lord your God. Unforgiveness and revenge is pride. Did you know that? That is prideful behavior. To want revenge and think about getting revenge on somebody. To not give place to the Lord to take vengeance, because He alone has the right. He alone is holy enough to pass that judgment and bring justice. Not you, not me, none of us, only Him. Proverbs 21:4. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Pride is sin, straight up. Proverbs chapter 6, the seven things. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. An abomination means it's something that God absolutely detests, and to detest something means you cannot stand it. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So what causes the sin of pride? Well, there are a number of things that it can originate in. One is self-righteousness, not looking at what Jesus did for you, but thinking that you're all that because you did this or you did that, or you started making right decisions. You didn't do anything without Him helping you to do it. If it was something good, He helped you to do it, or you couldn't have done it. Can I just tell you that? Inexperience will sometimes bring pride or open the door to pride, because you don't have the experience to understand that pride is working on you and that you're being seduced by the spirit of pride, because maybe you haven't been in the walk long enough, you're not deep enough in the Word, or you just haven't been to that place where you've been drug out into the wilderness and been taught. Possession of wealth can bring pride. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 13, and Hezekiah hearkened to them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver, and the gold, and the spices, and the precious ointments, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. He was proud of his stuff, so he showed it off. But it is possible, and especially if you're not born to wealth and you come into it suddenly, that you become so enamored of the wealth that you think it makes you somebody, and you think it makes you better than other people. Money's just money, y'all. It's a means to something else. It's a means for helping people. It's a means for supporting work in the kingdom of God. And here's something really scary. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Many who are wicked, unbelieving, and especially those who are very wealthy, think they don't need God. And that's a very scary place to be. Pride will harden your heart towards God too. All sin hardens your heart in some area, but pride will harden your heart and make you think that, oh, well, I've got enough God, I don't need any more. Pride will cause you to reject God's word and God's ministers. Jeremiah 43, verse 2. Then spoke Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Jehanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, okay, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Obviously, God did send Jeremiah. We got a whole book in the Bible that says all the things that God had him say. But because they were so proud, so prideful, they probably thought, well, why would God send him? And that's something you hear a lot in whispers among those who don't have gifts and they see other gifts displayed. Well, why would God use that person? Why wouldn't he use me? I've, you know, never missed a Sunday of church my whole life since I was 2 years old, whatever. That's pride. Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who deals in proud wrath. James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Humble yourselves. In other words, look for pride in your own actions. Humble yourself, because if you don't, remember, God is bound by his word to humble you. Proverbs 11:2. This is one of the scriptures he's bound by. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So when you get prideful, it's guaranteed you're going to fall. You're on the path to destruction, and shame is coming. Who wants that? God led me into the wilderness in about 2002, 2003. I don't remember when it started. And he told me, just as he was about to lead me into it, he told me one morning I woke up and he said, you're hard-hearted and prideful, and I'm going to get it out of you because we can't go any further until I do. And I was like, whoops, this is not going to be fun. And I didn't know really anything about the wilderness then much, but I knew that what he was saying he would do, he would perform it, and I knew it wasn't going to be good. It wasn't going to be fun. I knew the outcome would be good, but the going through wouldn't be good. No, my gosh, y'all, it was the worst, most horrible experience. Every day was like a form of torture. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And usually multiple times and all at once. I had people coming at me. I had bills coming at me. Sickness coming at me. People dying in my family. I mean, it was everything from everywhere all at one time. And I was a wreck. I was a wreck. I was so happy when that wilderness ended. I was so happy. I did know from the fact that I had been in a wilderness before that, I did know that the only thing to do was to submit and roll with it. Just flow the best I could with God. Ask him to help me to see what he was trying to show me and do everything I could to humble myself. And so I did that. It still went on for like, I want to say, 6 months or a year. I can't really remember how long it was, just how terrible it was. And I spent a lot of time crying and praying. I remember that. And just basically falling apart. But the only thing that you can do when you get to that point that God is honoring his word and you're in the part where you're going to fall and he's going to get that pride out of you is roll with it, because you're not coming out of it until you give in. Roll with it, get into the word, pray, tell God you're willing to see and change and ask him to show you what he's trying to get you to see, to help you to see it, and he'll guide you, because there's nothing else going to help, y'all. You can't fight God. Can I just tell you that? You cannot fight God. There's a man listening to me right now, and you're not real close to God. You kind of know him, and you have a relationship with him, but it's not an intimate relationship. And you want it, but you're kind of afraid of him. And he's after your heart, sir. He is after your heart. He said that you have a special gift that he wants to use for his kingdom purposes. And if you will submit to him right now and give in to him, the way to go will be much easier. So this is your chance. And from what I'm seeing, if you don't, the way is going to be pretty tough. So if I were you, I would just get on my knees and say, yeah, I will do it, Lord, whatever it is. Pride always brings with it a lot of strife. If you're real prideful, you've always got to have the last word. It will cause you to get into arguments, and you think you have to win the argument. You cannot stand it if the other person has the last word. So you always have to have the last word if you're prideful. That's a good place to start in resisting that spirit if it's on you. And you see that trait in yourself, just practice closing your mouth. And your flesh will scream, and it will scream very loudly. But if you'll just close your mouth and walk away, things will get better. They'll get easier. Strife opens the doorway to every evil work, so it is something you do not want in your house, at your workplace, or anywhere around your family. It opens the doorway to every evil work. James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And strife is just contention. It's fighting and arguing and never getting along and that sort of thing. So clearly, the spirit of pride is not something that we want operating through us or attached to us or operating anywhere in our life. It causes God to resist us. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Well, we don't want him to resist us. We need him to give us more grace so we can do better and better, right? So we don't want it for that reason. It brings shame and downfall, neither of which we want in our lives. We don't want shame. We don't want downfall. We don't want destruction. And pride goes before destruction. There are many stories that exemplify pride at work in the Bible. Probably my favorite is in Exodus, the Pharaoh. He was prideful again and again. He apparently saw himself as God, not recognizing the true God. And that cost him his life, his army, and basically his whole kingdom. The bad thing is, and the really sad thing is, when a leader is prideful, the nation suffers too. In the book of Esther, Haman is very prideful. And he plotted the downfall of Mordecai because Mordecai, who was a Jew and who was very humble, would not bow to him and show him honor. Mordecai didn't bow to him because he realized that Haman was evil, obviously. Haman plotted to have Mordecai hanged on this gallows, and so he had this gallows built. And as it turned out, Haman was the one who hung on the gallows. We reap what we sow, don't we? And it amazes me when God brings justice just how clearly and exactly we reap exactly what we've sown. That's all I have for y'all tonight. I do want to pray for you, and then I want to leave you with a song composed by my friend Nicole Guillory. Father, I lift every listener to you. Father, I pray that you would intervene in our lives any place that there is pride, that you would help us, Lord, to humble ourselves so that you don't have to humble us. I pray, Father, that you would help us to humble ourselves so that we would not need to enter the wilderness for pride to be stripped out of us, because that's such a painful experience, Lord God, and I know that no one listening wants to go there. Father, we praise you for your mercy. Your mercies that are new every day, Lord. We praise you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love, Lord God. We thank you for the very breath that we draw, because without you, there won't be another breath. We thank you, Lord God, for so many blessings that we can't count. We praise you, Father, for the protection over our loved ones. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to avoid this vile spirit of pride and to walk in as much holiness as possible, Lord God, like you would like for us to walk. Help us to be more like Jesus, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to play for you a song by Nicole Guillory called Wings. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you have a really, really blessed week. God bless you. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a period in your life where it felt like someone just yanked the rug out from under you? Or you woke up one day and it felt like your life was just falling apart? Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. This is what I call the wilderness experience. Wilderness experiences are often times of great uncertainty and change. They are also times of great discomfort where you feel the heat and the pressure are on. And everywhere you turn, it seems like there's no place to run for comfort. The Lord took me in and out of a number of wilderness experiences, and then He had me write a book called The Wilderness Companion. And what it is a roadmap through these desert times in your life. It's kind of a how-to do and don't manual of what He taught me and things He spoke to me during the wilderness times that I went through. Sometimes wilderness times are times of physical challenge where you're ill. Sometimes they are financial challenges. Many of the ones I went through were financial challenges where I had no work and no money. Or times when God just took me out of work and put me in a place where, you know, I couldn't find a job or whatever. But the Wilderness Companion will help you if you are in a wilderness time or if you want to read the book for in preparations for the next time. To find out why you've been led into the wilderness, find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness, because very often wilderness times are times of a lack of provision. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Now, these were revealed to me straight from God. And drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by teaching you how to partner with God for His purposes for you in the desert seasons. This is a book you don't want to miss. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or in the Wings of Prophecy bookstore in print form or Kindle version, www.wingsofprophecy.com.
Have occasional strong urges to do the wrong thing? Things that mess up an otherwise Christian lifestyle? Is the sin nature rearing up, or could it be something else? Spiritual soul tunnels are well-disguised avenues to reach a person who has turned from a formerly unhealthy relationship. If this sounds like it could describe you, you need Glenda Linko's new ebook, Severing Soul Ties and Leaving the Past Behind, for $3.99 at Amazon and wingsofprophecy.com. That's Severing Soul Ties and Leaving the Past Behind.